we're back here at syndicatednews.net with Dina Stewart and Stuart Stewart, our Miami Bureau chieftains. And today we're going to talk about a few topics: ladies in burkas, police on steroids, and a Kardashian star. Dina, do you want to start?
Well, I think we should start with the ladies in burkas. Specifically, what is the issue? I know a group of women and kids and two men were on an airline flight from Orlando or to Orlando, or in fact, were they doing some kind of test run to see whether or not security was ample, or were they actually doing a test run to see if they could do a potential attack? What was the issue behind this?
The issue was that a union protecting the pilots from U.S. Airways put out a memo stating that it was highly dangerous that groups of Middle Eastern passengers were boarding and creating chaos on the flight. I'll give you a perfect example. And by the way, this is important enough that I called U.S. Airways corporate press office, assuming I'll leave the message there on the tape as is normal, and then in the morning they'll call you back and give you their position on it at their leisure so that they're not being rushed. I called at 3 minutes of 11. I got a call at 11:07 from the corporate communications office of U.S. Airways. That's serious.
Well, what did you call for, and
what was their response?
The union put out a message saying to pilots not to go ahead and give in to the airline and take that flight when they know they shouldn't, and if they see that something's wrong. What was wrong, I'll tell you. On a flight from Washington, D.C. on U.S. Airways to Orlando, 8 young men in varying ages, I think from 20 to 40, boarded quietly and routinely. And once the flight was in the air, the one in the back in the furthest most seat ran at high speed down the aisle into the first class area bathroom, slammed the door shut and stayed there. The other 7 then got up, started changing seats and opening bins throughout the airplane, basically creating quite the commotion. And it was frightening for those who were not in their party. In any case, eventually they settled, sat down, never spoke again. By the time they got off, the police, of course, were waiting for them, and 4 of them were arrested. Now, that would be fine. We would consider it handled, except that the return flight from Orlando to Washington, D.C. had 8 girls wearing full burkas, ready to board the flight, except now they were well aware of the fact that something's definitely up. They're rehearsing, and they've done it on other flights across the country. What happened? Channel 10 in Tampa, Florida, broke the story. And the powers that be, mostly tourism-related, wanted them to kill the story. I don't care about the tourism. Tourism's going to come anyway. I want to be ready. I was standing in New York City on September 11th. It changed everything. I will not say, oh, well, I'm really interested in not affecting tourism now in Florida, so I would like to quiet this down too. Another thing they quieted and tried to make disappear was the actual memo, because it's strongly worded.
What happened to those particular men that they did apprehend?
They can't discuss that for national security.
They are, in fact, in custody, and they are being
arrested
and being taken care of. Well, they weren't just
released. It was handled. Yeah, four of them were arrested. Not all eight, just four.
Okay, and the women, did they discover or determine that there was anything wrong with them?
Of course there's something terribly wrong. The fact that they're practicing, they're doing dry runs. This is not an isolated incident.
Is it really a dry run, or is it a possibility that Homeland Security is doing this and watching the reactions?
No, it wasn't an experiment. It was not an experiment. All the airline tickets were purchased by individual people that were not involved with the authorities. This was not a practice or a drill. This was a drill that they were running on their own without knowledge of the American authorities. And this was not an isolated incident.
Well, let me ask you a question. If, as you're suggesting, that this could be a practice run for a terrorist attack, if a terrorist was actually going to do something on the plane, why would everybody be dressed exactly so everyone would know and the plot would...
Why would that be so obvious? The men were not obvious in that they wore regular clothing, but the women were being very obvious and were doing that deliberately.
Why do you think they were doing that?
To test the waters. Several just arrived on a flight from the Middle East to France, and when they wouldn't remove their burqas to identify themselves against their passports, they were put back on a plane and sent home, and they were furious because they thought they were just going to arrive in France, keep the burqa on, and religion, my faith, doesn't allow me to show my face, so I'm not taking off the veil. And the authority said, then you're not getting off this plane.
Did the same thing happen here, or
no,
did they let them go in without knowing who they were?
No, the problem here is that we have civil liberties and we want to be politically correct. So we're balancing all those things out. Anyway, that's enough on the burqas. Anyone who wants to read the letter from the union, it's on syndicatednews.net. And also the immediate response sent to me by the communications director from U.S. Airways is also on there, because I was really impressed at how quickly they answered. This we can discuss. This is acceptable. This other stuff we cannot discuss for Homeland Security reasons. And I'm not going to be as irresponsible as to say, let's discuss all of it out and openly.
I agree from the perspective of, we need to know that there still is potential danger out there. There is. We are vulnerable to a terrorist attack. We have no idea when it could happen, where it could happen. But we all agree, yes, there is definitely that possibility. However, do we go through life feeling paranoid? Do we jump to the conclusion that every Muslim is bad and has the potential of being a terrorist? Or do we just live our life and hope very strongly that the people and the powers that be in charge of that are doing their job? Security, Homeland Security, they're doing what they need to do to protect us as best as they can so that we can just go about our business without looking and staring and ogling the next person who happens to be wearing a burqa.
That would be really nice in theory, but in practicality, no. It's impossible, and I'll be damned if I'm going to be hoping that some organization protects me. Nonsense. I'll show you. Arizona.
What about Arizona?
Professional Hispanic women, women of Greek descent, Italian descent, Indian descent, and Hispanic women, if you don't have your ID on you, they could throw you on a bus and you wind up in Guadalajara.
And what happens then?
You're in Guadalajara.
Yeah, well, if they throw you on a bus in Florida, where do you go?
Miami. The point is, once they started that nonsense, I was thinking, you know, I could possibly leave the hotel, go for a walk or a latte, not bring ID, because I don't usually bring ID to go have a coffee. They'll throw me on a bus, and there I am. If they would say, but we're taking you to Acapulco, that's different. I'll go to Acapulco. But they'll send you to some god-awful town in Mexico. They return you to whatever route they've already established. If I'm going to be treated with such disrespect simply because I look a certain way and I have olive skin, I'm not going to Arizona. I don't take my money there. I don't spend my money in a place where I see that. When Natalie Holloway disappeared and the authorities would not cooperate, I wrote openly, cancel all trips to that island. And in the same sense, I'm not flying until this is corrected. Now let's take a moment to listen to a new artist called Linnea. She had a great single last year, and here's another one. She's out of the group represented by Patty Donahue out of Nashville, Tennessee, and she's doing all sorts of acting in California. Let's take a listen to this number.
Looking like a good girl, but you know that I'm bad.
You know that you want it because you know that I'm.
Let's get back to our conversation about people terrorizing the airways.
Okay, however,
if I get to the airport and everything's fine, everything's fine. But if I see someone that refuses to take off the burqa, we're going to have problems.
Well, what are you going to do? You're going to cancel your trip, or are you going to insist that somebody pull that burqa off, that person, be it a man or a woman that's underneath it?
Stuart, you what? Met me already. The problem will be that I'll be the one ripping that burqa off.
and
it's the police that'll be locking me up because I'm violating her space and her civil liberties. I'm not getting on a plane with someone who refuses to take off a burqa. Nonsense. It's not happening.
And no, I agree with you.
That's affecting me. Yeah, you and Stuart will be pulling me back because I'll be ripping the damn thing off her face.
Stuart and I had, I don't remember where we were going, but we were ready to board a plane, and behind us, there were two people.
Rest.
I was concerned. I really was. And when they did get off our line, I breathed a sigh of relief. There's a deep-seated prejudice, I think, in all of us.
And let's take a moment to mention woodbuttons.com. They are our new sponsor, woodbuttons.com. They're excellent for crafts, and they make all sorts of beads that are made in exotic woods. The only American-based company that's been American-owned, veteran-owned, and it's an American company made in America with exotic woods. Not protected woods, exotic woods. Quite beautiful. Woodbuttons.com.
I have no problem with that. I agree with you. I personally don't think that kind of costuming where you cover your entire face and body belongs in the United States. If you want to go to your mosque and wear
Wait a minute. This country was founded on the issue of religious freedom.
They didn't cover their faces.
And what a different religion. This is what this religion, you know, requires. We're dealing with a completely different culture. And instead of trying to understand that and certain sensitivities, it's like we're taking a round peg and trying to jam it into a square hole. There's got to be some level where everybody could just understand the culture. Like down here in
I understand the culture, fine.
No, but you understand it from a prejudicial point of view based on where you come from and what you've learned about these people.
The entire culture was not introduced to America until after 9/11.
There were Muslims in Manhattan on the Upper West, on the Upper East Side.
Always.
They built the giant temple. You know, we moved out.
Yeah, I do remember the mosque there.
Yeah, the giant mosque there. So they were there way before 9/11, and they were just people. This was their religion, and everybody said, "I don't like it, but I have to respect it because that's what we do as Americans." And everybody's losing sight of that now.
I'm not losing sight of it.
by a cabinet maker's son. His hands were meant for different work, and his heart was known to none. He left his home and went his lone and solitary way. He gave to me a gift I know I never can repay. Quiet man of music, denied a simpler fate. He tried to be a soldier once, but his music wouldn't wait. He earned his love through discipline, the thundering velvet hand. His gentle means of sculpting souls took me years to understand. The leader of the band is tired and his eyes are growing old. His blood runs through my instrument, and the song is in my soul. My life has been a poor attempt to imitate the man. I'm just a living legacy to the leader of the band. My brother's lives were different, for they heard another call. One went to Chicago and the other to St. Paul. And I'm in Colorado and I'm not in some motel, living out this life I've chosen, gone to know so well. Stories of the road. Thank you for the freedom when it came my time to go. Thank you for your kindness and the times when you got tough. Papa, I don't think I've said I love you near enough. The leader of the band is tired and his eyes are growing old. His blood runs through my veins, and the song is in my soul. My life has been a poor attempt to imitate the man. I'm just a living legacy to the leader of the band. I am a living legacy to the leader of the band.
That was one of John's sons. I believe it was Nathan. The song is just so touching and so beautiful. It reaches you. I love that song. And it's the theme song for Dr. McGuire, who will be back soon. We can't wait to have him back. He's doing all sorts of things, medical and otherwise. We can't wait to have Dr. McGuire back in his time slot. He's been on vacation and working on all sorts of things. Anyway, we look forward to having him back home where he belongs at syndicatednews.net. We're reaching the world. And we're so happy about it and so proud. We just can't wait to have our own Doctor of Osteopathy, our own Dr. McGuire. We're having him back at syndicatednews.net where he belongs. I experienced it twice. I experienced it in 1993. I remember exactly where I was then, on Park Avenue and 52nd Street at Synoptics in 1993 when the first attempt.
Yeah, the first attempt. Yeah, I remember
and
that.
And then I experienced the second one. It changed me.
Everybody is measuring the change by the way they were before, instead of saying, I've changed, let me erase the slate and put down what this new change has caused. and how the world is very different now.
It affected my humor. I don't make jokes around things that I'm not sure of. And I can't say, oh, well, everything's fine because that's their religion and that's their faith. If your faith requires that you cover your faith and you can't identify yourself at the airport, I'm going to have a problem. And I'm not going to say, oh, well, are you guys going to deal with it and handle it? Because those people that work in airports only have a job. Their lives don't depend on it. It's just a job that they want to get over with and done, and they want to get people through as quickly as possible. And that memo that came out of the pilots' union was about the fact that they should not allow themselves to be pressured by the airlines to hurry up and be on time and get that flight in. A lot of airlines pressure the pilots to basically water down and try to calm things down and not make things an issue so they can get that flight there on time, because they're fined now. They get fined when the flights are delayed.
There are so many issues involved in terms of this. Since 9/11, sadly, there really has not been an adequate education to all the Americans here in the United States regarding what Islam really is all about and why very nice people become Muslims. I don't understand the draw at this point, why anybody who has experienced 9/11 would want to become a Muslim. Yet there are people who have converted to it, so they see some beauty in the religion.
Oh, absolutely. All religions have their beauty. They have their positive points and their drawbacks. Look at what happened in Brooklyn last night. Grown men were arrested because they have literally been going around the neighborhoods.
If a husband won't give his wife a get, they beat the heck out of him. They've been coercing men into agreeing to divorces by beating them up, and they do it for $50,000, like the mob.
I know.
They kidnap him and beat the heck out of him until he signs the get.
I know. That's totally insane. I don't
but
even understand.
But it's happening right here in Brooklyn. It's not happening in Gaza.
I know.
Yeah, and
I know.
This is not happening with Muslims. This is happening with a recognized
fundamentalist religion, whatever the religion happens to be.
I agree.
It's extreme. And when you have extremists, you have fringe people. And with fringe people, we're talking about loony fringe.
And
anyway.
Something very important that Stuart brought up that I've seen again and again, and everyone keeps turning their head as though it's not happening. Police on steroids. Stuart, talk to us about it, please.
I can't speak for the rest of the country. I've seen pictures on TV of very bulked up policemen, and I've seen actual policemen on the streets here in Miami Beach that are built like that. Most of the policemen aren't. But anybody that takes a steroid and takes it probably in large doses, I imagine it would affect the way they think and make them feel super strong, and they have to keep proving to themselves they are. So if somebody defies what they say, they get physical about it. It's happened here on Miami Beach time and time again.
Absolutely.
It's only a small group of young cops who have probably just come aboard in the last few years. They're all in their 20s, and they all look like refrigerators.
And this is a number by our favorite, Orlando Delgado, also known as Landy Nova. Let's go pick something out of his treasure chest and surprise everybody. Of course, it's going to have to be Miami related.
Miami! De la luna y las estrellas. de verdad otra vez. Y nunca me olvidaré de esa luna y esos ojos que me alumbran el camino.
And if you don't do it, they're ready to start an issue.
They're ready to beat the heck out of you.
Yeah.
I've seen it again and again. I'm seeing these big muscular guys. My beef was with sports. It was very obvious to me looking at the photograph of men like Jeter and A-Rod and seeing the photograph of the same human being a year later, and they looked like bulls.
Uh-huh.
With the overblown arms and thighs and chests. It was the same man. That was amazing. The neck, even the jowls, everything, they had muscles on their earlobes. It was amazing. And my objection to that was that they went ahead and took their drugs and continued taking their drugs. And Marion Jones, for lying about taking growth enhancement, taking the same types of steroids, she wound up doing time in a federal prison. Meanwhile, these wonderful baseball folk, not only were they regularly taking their drugs, they were quietly demanding to be inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. They were denied, but that's what they were doing all the while. In other words, no matter what, they not only want to keep their money, their big money that they got fraudulently, because they got it because they took steroids.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how different is that than CEOs of companies who try to stretch everybody's ability so that they could make more money? That's what these baseball players were doing. And, you know,
No, it's not the same.
I have a problem with that.
It's not the same. It's not the same. That's a totally different subject, because when that individual is taking a steroid, he's doing it to his own body. A wonderful show is going to come out on CNN. I don't know if it's tonight or tomorrow, but two reporters wrote a very serious story about Lance Armstrong, because he actually sued one of his friends who would not cheat, who would not take steroids and wouldn't cheat. And he pressured lots of people with his lying and his cheating. And how stupid are people? That little nothing of a guy is going to win year after year after year. How dense are we
then? But he was on steroids, and look what he was able to do. Now imagine a policeman on steroids who, if this little, this man who's not a big, tough, you know, guy, was able to intimidate people because he felt so powerful.
Yeah.
And, you know, imagine a policeman who's got a weapon on its side. In sports and anything else, there are drug problems, fine. With the police department, they have to be drug-free because they're guarding us and protecting us.
Well, anybody who uses performance enhancement drugs, if they're doing it because the end result means that they're going to be making more money and the team is going to be making more money, and as a result, they will have more advertising, they have an incentive to do it.
Of course. When it comes to sports, it's a multi-billion dollar industry. All that violence and raping and all that nonsense that went on quietly for year after year, decade after decade at that university in Pennsylvania, that didn't happen because it was just fun. It happened because of the pressure and the money brought in to the endowment for the university with football is so laced one into the other that there was no way they were going to upset these wonderful people that deal with football.
It all boils down to the dollar. It's money and power.
A lot of people think the more money you have, the more power you can have. And the more power you have, the more money you can have. These are people who truly believe whoever has the most money when they die wins.
Now, this is one of my all-time favorites. It's the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, but joining them is Jamie Hanna and Jonathan McEwen. That's John McEwen's nephew and his son. And the song, Lowlands, was written before these young men were born. And it's so romantic. It has such a beautiful lyric. Listen in.
I'm headed for the lowlands, won't you please direct my way? Train is leaving shortly, there's no time for delay. She told me she'd be waiting, I'm not so sure she is. I heard that there's another man who claims that she is his. Lowlands were my home when I was but a child. They will be my deathbed when I pass my time. I remember one summer day, the clouds began to fill. We gathered the cattle which had scattered across the field. It started to rain and continued several days. The river overflowed and the crops all went to waste. Lowlands were my home when I was but a child. They will be my deathbed when I pass my time. Thank you.
place that nothing does do. No man's were my home when I was but a child. They will be my deathbed when I pass my time.
Conversation. We were talking about ugly men and pretty women.
You have, I mean, yeah, money does rule and power rules, and the two do go together. Take a person like Donald Trump. If he didn't have the money, he would just be a jerk.
If he were a regular guy with no money, do you think he would get the standard of women that he gets? Come on.
Of course not. And the same thing in terms of Kim Kardashian and her star of fame or whatever she wanted.
Yeah, could you imagine that?
Yeah. There's a sense of entitlement. If you have money and people know you, that you think you have power, and with that power and with that money, you own the world. And when you own the world, you can ask for everything and anything you want. And when you don't get it, that gives you a justification to be angry and do whatever else you want to do to get it back. And that's what these people do primarily.
You know what it is? It's not only that these people do it, but most of us are good, human, decent people who would never act the way they do. So it's sort of like a voyeur's looking at people acting so outrageous that a lot of people who live very safe, conservative lives wish they could have that kind of attitude.
And to wrap up, I just wanted to bring attention to what we have on syndicated news right now. I don't know how many people know, but former Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick from Detroit, Michigan, got 28 years. That full.
Yeah, and his associate got 25. So you can just imagine what these guys were doing there to get a big sentence like that.
Well, they bankrupted Detroit is what they did. They
wow.
bankrupted Detroit. And that article about the burkas, it's on there. It's on there. And also, John McEwen visited WMNF. It's public radio. And he was helping them out with their drive. And they did a wonderful, they had bluegrass artists. One from Scotland. She was dynamic. And it was just lovely. And we have a copy of the actual show. It's playing on syndicatednews.net. And there's a link there. If anyone wants to contribute to that show, please do. Support your public radio always. And there is also the Loruvani Choir CD. It's a great Christmas stocking stuffer.
You're talking about Christmas already? Wow.
Absolutely. And the reason I mentioned the Loruvani Choir is because they're a Maasai tribe that will not accept charity. They insist on singing for their supper, and they want a tin to have a roof where they worship. They worship out under the trees right now, and they're a wonderful choir. They're so synchronized, and their voices are so beautiful. It's fascinating. And, of course, Pop Sugar, it's on live here at Syndicated News. And if you want that free encryption app, it's called Ricochet. It's made by Ricochet Labs, and we have it free and available here at Syndicated News.
What does it do?
It will encrypt any message that you're sending from your phone to someone else's. If you want to send a picture that you want to send encrypted, or I imagine that this type of software, these types of apps are going to wind up helping the porno industry. I'm just imagining, you know, what else you want
to encrypt.
And as always, of course, there's Pete's Pond. They're from Botswana. Pete's Pond is a pond in the middle of a reserve, an African reserve, where all sorts of real animals come and visit and have a sip of water. But remember, This is not a zoo. It's not a petting zoo. They don't have people there to keep the peace or to keep animals separate. And animals, by nature, they sometimes dine on each other versus with each other. So that really does happen. So if you're squeamish, it's you know, it's exciting, but maybe it's not the place to do. And another Kennedy, drinking and driving. Kerry Kennedy, that's another one that I always find interesting. And, of course, Anthony Weiner is back. He's sicker than ever.
What's he doing now?
He sabotages his own success. In other words, he's worse than ever. He's doing tremendous damage to himself in the way he speaks, in the way he treats people, the way he talks in general. And somehow he thinks it's cute and endearing. That kind of behavior is cute if you're 2 years old, not if you're a grown man.
Especially a politician.
So obnoxious. But really, I think he's got a brain bleed. If I were his relative, I would have him examined neurologically, because no one can be that self-destructive in such a short amount of time that they leave a congressional seat. That's so important and so difficult to obtain. And he gave it up because of the messages he sends, and now he does it all over again. How foolish is he?
He's sick, he's got a problem. And something is driving him to do this. And, you know, a lot of people, when they start to succeed, do crazy things like this that wipe them out in a way that they can't come back.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's also the very serious matter last year where there were six states that had a charity related to the veterans. It was supposed to collect money for the veterans and help them out. And I think they got $20,000 or $30,000 out of $300 million. It was a fraud. And the attorney that orchestrated it, Kelly Mathis, was charged with 104 counts. He was convicted last night of 103 of them. Before all of the people involved in all the different internet cafes were picked up, many members of the media, myself included, received the listing showing warrants that were going out, even though many of these people had not been brought in yet. And the amount of people that were arrested over this and who had checking accounts with tremendous money, they arrested around 50 or 60 people, and their names, the entire listing of all the people that were arrested, is on syndicated news. So is the master statement from the prosecutor. That's on there as well. And exhibits, that's on there as well.
Well, that's that whole maker and taker mentality.
Yes,
that
it is.
Discussed.
Yes, it is. Now, the Lieutenant Governor, Jennifer Carroll, once this story broke out, she immediately got ahead of it. She lawyered up and she cooperated. She had been a consultant to them, but Governor Rick Scott demanded her resignation that day, and he got it. And she had to leave her position because she was a consultant. Now, Kelly Mathis, who was charged with 103 counts, he says he, too, was just a consultant, not the mastermind.
I'm Dina Stewart.
And I'm Stuart Stewart, and this has been the Weekend Roundup for SyndicatedNews.net, featuring Ruthie DiTucci.
Dina Stewart.
And Stuart Stewart. And we'll close up the show with a little Vivaldi for a change. Until next time.